All right, 7:40 on this Thursday morning. We are counting down the days to the August primary and talking to candidates that are seeking election. Not sure if he thought that he'd have a primary or not, but he does. He's nearing the end of his first term. 81st District Republican State Representative Gary Eisen is online with us right now. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. And I'm going to
appreciate you being with us. Are you surprised that you have a primary? Are you surprised that you're being challenged?
Yes, I am. Well, no, I mean, everybody has the right to run, and that's fine. But it's just too bad because, you just get your feet under you in your first term. You learn what to do, what not to do, how to not waste time. And then you take it into your second term, and then you become a lot more effective in your second and third terms. And that's just the way it is. Being in my first term, actually my first 14 months, I had a pretty good run before COVID. But I got two resolutions off the floor, a Fragile X resolution on learning disabilities and a Second Amendment resolution off the floor. I got two bills signed into law to help the flooding victims. And I would have had a third one, a transportation bill, which would have helped all the county road commissions. But because of COVID, it kind of got put on the back burner until we get back in session in September. So all in all, I had a pretty good run my first 14 months so far, and hopefully I can carry that on over.
You mentioned flooding victims. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But that's fine. It just it actually does probably more harm than good with a tight race, and the governor wants to get the House back so that she can control the money. And we only hold a majority by two seats, and a lot of our colleagues expect in races like in our area would be better if, I would go help other candidates in those battleground areas. But I'll be back here campaigning and trying to get reelected, and I hope everybody and I can help out, and they can see the advantages of having a second term going in and go from there. So let's see what happens.
What were your priority? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Gary, your priorities for your first term, what were they, and what are your priorities for a second term?
Well, priorities were, first term were a lot of skilled trades. As I'm the only skilled trade contractor on the floor, one of the few senior citizens on the floor. I'm the only martial art instructor on the floor, and I'm only firearm instructor on the floor. But it basically education with skilled trades is very important to me. I think we lack in that with the average skilled trade guy being somewhere between 46 and 50. We lack a lot of, we lack everything, and it's hindering our state right now. I'm a very pro firearm, and I have some bills in there dealing with gun free zones and stuff like that. I think the unique thing about the House is like that because we got all kinds of people in there, and everybody specializes in different areas. So in one of my areas is the skilled trades, and of course I'd like to loosen up some. As a small business owner, I'd really like to help out what I can with promoting small business and stuff like that. So and that's part of my main plan is the skilled trade, small business, farm. Mm-hmm. I got endorsed by the Farm Bureau, and 50% of my work is with the farmers in my welding shop, so I got a good background and to help those guys. And I'm on the Agriculture Committee along with the DNR Committee. I'm Vice Chair of Transportation, and I'm on local government. And so continue what I started, I guess.
Yeah, well, what can state government do to help skilled trades? You mentioned that several times. What would you like to see government do to help promote skilled trades?
Promote it more, like in education. I mean, I know the narrative was you have to go to college and all that kind of stuff, but if they would bring it up and expose the younger generation, and I'm talking like 7th and 8th graders, instead of waiting for high school, Get them interested in learning electrical work, welding, plumbing, and just see if it's what they like to do. Instead of always, I mean, college is very important. And I went to school. I went to a technical school to learn the welding trade. But they just got to start the conversation at a younger age. You know, with them getting rid of a lot of your shop classes, woodworking, carpentry, and stuff like that, it just doesn't expose the kids at a younger age before they get into, you know, cars and girls and stuff like that. But if they made the skilled trades equal important as a college degree, I think more people would tend to want to get into that. And, you know, it's like truck driving, and it pays pretty good, you know, and you can have a good living on it. Mm-hmm. So I know they got a heck of a short, just drive around. There's help wanted signs everywhere. Okay. So that's the one thing they could do, is just basically change the conversation on it to address. It's just as important as being an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer as being a welder or a plumber or electrician. So.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask you about, the coronavirus pandemic. You mentioned that you had a pretty good run before that happened. That obviously was a major interruption to all of us for a lot of different reasons. What do you think of the state's response to the coronavirus thus far, and what do you think the state should do moving forward?
Well, since this basically caught us with our pants down, there was no manual that we had to look at. And, you know, I think the governor got some good advice. I think the governor got some bad advice. And I think moving forward, we learned quite a bit from this. We learned what to do and maybe what not to do, or what we should do better. I think during this pandemic or this lockdown stuff that we went through, we have to realize that we do need a healthy workforce. We need a healthy economy, and we need both. You can't have one without the other. I mean, you can have all the healthy workers in the world, and if they don't have a job to go to, then I guess they become unhealthy again. But I think with the way things are done, you know, I could sit here and criticize the governor a lot, but I'm not going to. Do I agree with everything she did? No. I would have started a plan that said if a business followed A, B, and C and could follow that and follow the the PPEs and stuff, they should be allowed to open. And I'm not a big government oversee where the government has all the answers, because they don't, and I work there. So I would just like to see, actually, I would like to see something done with the 1945 Act and the 1976 Act, which would put some control back in the legislators instead of just giving the governor sole power forever and ever and ever. It was never meant to be that way. The governor was supposed to originally have 28 days to get things in order and then go to the legislature after that. But somehow that got misinterpreted. And so we do have a petition drive going. We have a lawsuit going. And it's just to get the legislature, the Senate, and the House in on the conversation, and not just let one person run with the ball. And I think that would be a better choice. I mean, I have nothing against the first 28 days. I think they need that, because when you need funding, and going through the House and the Senate can take a little time. I think that's a good thing. But I think sometimes being in sole control, and all you have to do is keep reissuing state of emergencies, you start getting all these executive orders, which I think there's over 150 now, and people tend to see to get tired of that, and I think they would like to have more input from their elected officials. So I think moving forward, I think that needs to be done.
Do you agree with the mask mandate, and do you mask up when you go out in public?
I do. If I'm all by myself, I'll be honest, if I'm all by myself out in the public, I don't wear a mask. Masks are very constricting. They force you to breathe more carbon dioxide. The cloth masks are basically useless. The regular masks, unless you have a medical grade, are only about 25% effective. We found out that you catching the virus off a hard surface is next to impossible. You got to stand about 2 feet in front of somebody for 10 or 15 minutes and have a conversation so that you can absorb enough of the virus. And there's all kinds of things out there. The funny thing is that when this first came out, they said the masks were no good. Now all of a sudden they're saying the masks are good. So, but yes, I do mask up when I have to. Other than that, I take a little common sense approach, whereas I see people riding a bike on a country road with a mask on, which I think is kind of silly. But now if you're going to go into a grocery store, I mean, I've been into two stores yesterday. I wore my mask and because, well, it's an executive order, so I'm following the order. But I don't know. We're all over the place on that. Some people think it's great and some people don't. And then, you know, time will tell if it actually works or not. And I think that's how we have to gain get the additional information, and we gain knowledge with experience. And maybe a year from now, we're going to say, gee whiz, the mask didn't do anything. Or we'll say, gee whiz, the mask did a lot. And if it proves it did a lot, then it was effective. But there's a lot of things kicking around. I mean, you could talk to 10 people, you get 10 different answers on what they think they should do and how they should do it. But the longer it goes, the more knowledge we gain. So
we're talking with Gary Eisen. He is seeking re-election to the state legislature. Gary, why should voters in the 81st district in the Republican primary select you for another term in the House of Representatives?
Yes, I do.
but why should they vote for you?
Oh, why? Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't get home from Lansing last night till like 3 in the morning. We had
no, I understand.
And but why? Well, what do I bring to the table? Okay, I bring 43 years of being self-employed businessman. Like I said, I'm the only skilled trade contractor on the floor. I represent all the senior citizens. I've got more done in the first 14 months prior to the COVID than some reps to get done in 6 years. So I've got maybe another 8 or 9 bills waiting on in committee right now. I bring a different approach. Okay, I'm not your typical politician. I don't even like that word. I call myself a common sense lawmaker. It's just that if you want someone that's pretty down to earth, straightforward, honest. In Lansing, I've been called brutally honest. Okay, so that means I pretty much stick to my guns. I don't like all the wishy-washy stuff going on, I'm basically one of the my constituents. All right, there's nothing great about me. I'm good at a lot of things, but I bring a lot to the table. Unlike some of my colleagues, might bring a little bit less. Some might bring a little bit more, but. I'm pretty well-rounded and pretty straightforward guy. So I think that's a like a comforting change compared to what people think what's really going on and what their lawmakers should be about in Lansing.
All right. Gary, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for joining us, and good luck.
Thanks, Paul. Bye-bye.